traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Welcome, equestrians, to the International Equine Report. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida, at Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village. We're having a great time this weekend here at Sunshine Meadows. All of our northern people are here, all the show horse people, all the standard bred people are here, all the trail riding people are here. It's really good, you know, it's seeing everybody back. They had a great summer and everything, and you know, got a positive attitude, and you know that's really goes a long way with the way you work in your work day. When you got people that are, you know, happy and you know, doing what they do best, you know, and that's the love of the horses, riding and showing and, you know, racing, that type of thing. And you know, that's what it's really all good, you know. We've been talking here the last few weeks about some things that we're doing. Especially with the Triple Crown races and the show, the Olympics are coming up in July, which is exciting. A lot of the Olympians are here in Wellington getting ready for the Olympics in July, and that's good. We got all the not all of them, but we got a lot of the Derby horses down here in South Florida getting ready for the Kentucky Derby and all. And so one of the things that you know, has changed is the individual tracks are now starting to, you know, remodel and rebrand their product that they have. And that's what racing and shows have needed for a long time. And I tell you what, I'll be honest with you, I think the show horse people kind of set that trend. Mark Bellissimo took over Wellington, the World Equestrian Festival at Wellington quite a few years back, and he developed it into one of the best, if not the best, facilities in the country at that time to get people here to Florida for the winter so that they could go on their summer shows and go to Europe over in the summer. And you know, it was just unbelievable. He filled the place up, and it was great for the economy. And then all of a sudden, he went up to Tryon, North Carolina. He went up to Tryon, and he built Tryon bigger and better, you know, than Wellington. And they're both great facilities. It was just amazing what, you know, what they did. And so the World Equestrian Center in Ocala kind of kept an eye on them, and now I would say that the World Equestrian Center in Ocala is the top spot in the world for horse shows. It's amazing that they have you. You could go up there and take the family for a visit on your vacation. They've got all kinds of hotels. They got camping. They got all kinds of activities going on up there. They got some of the best restaurants in the world, the best hotels, you know, in the world. Their candy, they got a candy shop up there where they make all kinds of brownies and cookies and you know, all kinds of chocolates. And it's unbelievable. That's a visit in itself for the whole day. And then, you know, they've got everything that you could possibly want in an equestrian facility, and it's getting bigger and better every year. And so, you know, having said that about the show horse industry, the racehorse industry kind of took notice. And they said, well, what can we do? Well, I'll tell you what they can do. Churchill started the deal back a few years back. They started remodeling, renovating, redoing. They did everything in the world that could possibly be done, you know, which was good. And to be honest with you, it actually started with Gulfstream Park in Miami a few years back. They rebuilt Gulfstream and made it really nice. And they've got the casino there, and they've got the mall where you can go shopping there, and they got plenty of restaurants. So, you know, you can go there with the family, and you can go down and have a cigar and drink a beer and, you know, watch the races. And you know, then the wife, she can go off shopping, and the kids got plenty of stuff to do there, too. you know, for them. So, you know, they kind of kicked it along a little bit. And then Churchill started doing the same thing. They came in and they started redoing Churchill. And, of course, they got the museum there at Churchill, which is just a phenomenal facility to go to. I mean, you go to it and you get up and close in person when, you know, with the horses in the morning for breakfast at the Downs. Then the museum itself, it's got any and everything you want to know about the Derby and horse racing in it. They got a video that plays, and it's a circular video inside the museum. And so when they spring the horses out of the gate, when they're showing the Derby there, you can hear them running by you. And, you know, and it's like you're in the middle of the track watching the horses. They got a great gift shop there. If you want to get some birthday presents or some holiday gifts, that's a great place to be there. It's very economical, and, you know, they got any and everything you could possibly want to know about the horses, you know, that have run at Churchill. And the track is good. They got a new turf track. The dirt track they've got has been remodeled, redone. The stands, they got great stands to watch the races from, and they got different sections you can go to. You can, if you want to take 20 people in, they got a section that they could put you in. If you want a high-end owner's row, millionaire's row, they've got that. You know, so it's just amazing what they're doing there at Churchill. And so now we started looking at Belmont Park. Belmont Park said, hey, we got to get in on this deal. You know, we got to do something here in New York to get our program going a little better. So they decided to redo Belmont Park, and they're going to have a sports venue. They've already got the ice hockey arena right next to Belmont Park there. They're redoing the infield at Belmont Park, so it makes it more fan-friendly, where you can go and go to the races and watch and everything, and have all the amenities in the world that you need or that you want when you go to the races. So that's a 2-year project. And so everybody was thinking, you know, what the heck are they going to do with the Belmont Stakes? It's usually the second Saturday in June, or the first Saturday in June. And so they said, well, they're gonna move the Belmont Stakes up to Saratoga. Saratoga is an excellent facility. Everybody loves it. In fact, most of the the big time trainers go to Saratoga as soon as it opens, and it usually opens, you know, at the end of March or 1st of April, and they're usually up there training, and they're there until, you know, September or October. And so now they've moved the Belmont Stakes up to Saratoga. And if you go to our website, IENTV.org, and scroll down to the Triple Crown, you can see the new Belmont Stakes logo. And, you know, I've been saying for a long time, change is good, but if it's little at a time. With all the tradition that they've had in the Belmont and, the Triple Crown, when you go messing with tradition, people get a little upset. You know, in fact, we were talking about tradition the other day, and it was ironic because it was the Indiana game, and my sister lives in Bloomington, Indiana, and she was telling us that that some people wanted to change the uniforms of Indiana. Well, the uniforms in Indiana have been the same forever. It's tradition, and you know, it caused such an uproar that, you know, that they're leaving their uniforms the same. And same thing with horse racing. That would be like going to Churchill and saying, okay, well, we're not going to have the mint julep as our signature drink anymore. We're going to have, something else. Those are the things that are traditional. So when they remodel these tracks, they got to take that all into consideration. They don't want to alienate anybody, especially the horsemen. But the public, they want to give them a good venue to go to, something that, you know, fan friendly, family friendly, and that's what they're doing. So Belmont has got a real good, you know, project going there, and it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to take 2 years for them to get it done. So, we're all looking at it, saying, well, what are they going to do with the roof line? At the iconic roof line at Belmont Park. There's just so many things that, you got to think about, when you go to do that. But they've got a good plan, and so far they're moving ahead on a timely schedule. It's going to be 2 years before it's completely, and completed. And so the horsemen, have made arrangements to go to Saratoga. They're still training there at Belmont, but, it's kind of a little bit of a hassle. But, they'll be getting out to Saratoga here in another month or two, so that'll happen. So now we've got Churchill. We've got Belmont Park that are making all these changes for the better, for the fans, for the horsemen, for everybody, for the communities. They're doing that. And then, lo and behold, we found out here last couple of weeks that Pimlico Racecourse, the Stronic Corporation that has run Pimlico and Laurel and Gulfstream and Santa Anita and a few other tracks, in their possession, they decided that they are going to let the state of Maryland, the Racing Commission, take back over Pimlico and Laurel. And that came as a shock, because we didn't know, what was going to happen with the Preakness. They talked about moving the Preakness dates, to different days, that type of thing. So, all the horsemen were kind of concerned, what was going to happen there. And lo and behold, the state of Maryland came back and said, we're going to renovate Pimlico. We're going to make it new. We're going to make it competitive. We're going to give the people what they want and make it a show place. All the horsemen were just in awe. They couldn't believe what they were going to do with Pimlico, and it really did need it. So then they came up and they said, well, here we go. We've got Pimlico that's going to be remodeled. Well, what are they going to do with the Preakness? Well, they decided that Laurel Racetrack is in pretty good shape, and it won't take much to upgrade it just a little bit, but they're going to move over to Laurel Racetrack and they're going to run the Preakness for the next 2 years and at Laurel. And I said, oh, there you go. It's going to be interesting to see, how that comes out. So now everybody's on board. All the racetracks around the country are starting to, get in touch with the times and, get them fixed and get them ready so they can, draw that crowd in so that they can expand the horse business and make it a better, a better product for, the public to see. And that's what I like about the tracks now. They're going to go ahead and do that. And so literally, you could go on a vacation, three or four day weekend and go to Churchill, Pimlico, Belmont, Saratoga, and have a nice little mini vacation there. And it's just not about horse racing. It's about horses and the community and everything they have there. Now, Saratoga is the greatest place in the world to go to in the summertime, like for a vacation, because you have the thoroughbred racing, at Saratoga Racetrack. You got the standardbred racing at Saratoga Racetrack. They're all just a mile from each other. So you have that. Then you have what they call SPAC. It's the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. And all summer long, they have all kinds of concerts and, all kinds of things there. One of the most exciting things that I ever participated in was they had the Philadelphia Philharmonic played the 1812 Overture there at SPAC. And it's real nice. It's a nice and hilly. You can go out and take a blanket and lay on the grass and, watch everything. And so my girlfriend told me, she said, you're going to like this. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, well, I didn't know. I've never been to, a concert like that, like the Philadelphia Philharmonic. I've been to Skynyrd and, Marshall Tucker and that before, but nothing like this. So we're laying out there and we've got the blanket, we got the cheese and we got the wine going and, just really enjoying the day, there at Saratoga, beautiful August day there. So they start, the concert starts, and they get to the part in the concert where there's a battle scene. And all of a sudden, I hear these explosions on the right side and on the left side of me. I mean, they're huge explosions. They actually had cannons, military cannons on each side of SPAC to give you the feeling of the battle scene. And I mean, it was just unbelievable, you know. And they got a lot of concerts, you know, like that up there. They got the ballet in Saratoga. Some of the best, I've never been to it, but they've told me it's some of the best dancers and performers in the world that are there, from all over the world, actually. You know, so that's all part of the community. And then the restaurants and the food, and, you know, they've got everything. They got the Adirondack Mountains, Lake George is there. And every racetrack has something around it, you know, to where you can go. So it makes a great, you know, 3 or 4 day, you know, mini vacation for you. So what I'm saying is the equestrian industry has realized the value and the significance of the audience, of the fans, of the patrons. And I'll be honest with you, there's been a lot of years that, you know, the tracks really didn't do what they should do for the patrons. You know, they didn't do much for them. But now, you know, like the Derby Festival is 10 days long. It's a 7 day long Preakness Festival. The Belmont Stakes, you know, has 5 days of unbelievable, you know, things to do there in New York. Saratoga's 30 days plus, you know, of things that are going on in Saratoga. And you know, everywhere you go, they've got something, you know, that are there. And I tell you, like, another tradition that people don't realize, and you can go see it. You can do it on your vacation. Every year down in Virginia, in Richmond, Virginia, they have their racetrack there. What they do is they got a tradition, is they burn off the turf course. They go out and they burn off the turf course. And it's amazing to see. They put a chemical on it, then they light it, and it burns the race course off. And what it does is it draws nutrients and makes the turf there a lot better. It makes it a healthier turf. And, you know, it's just unbelievable to see, you know, things like that, that these different racetracks do to you know, give them a good product. And then the grass is really beautiful after that. You know, it's, you know, it's just unbelievable. And so, you know, that's what I'm saying. The equestrian industry is really good. I tell you what, in the Kentucky Horse Park, every year, the week before Derby, they've got good polo there, you know, at the week before the Derby in Kentucky, at Lexington. But what's even more amazing is they have the 3 day Rolex. And the 3 day Rolex at the Kentucky Horse Park is awesome. If you got a trailer, you know, call now and get your trailer reservations in for the last week of April. They've got a great RV park there. They got all the amenities that you can want there. They got a swimming pool, laundry. They got everything, you know, there for it. But 3 day Rolex. And what I like about that is you can get a headset and up at the office there, at the store, the little tack shop they have there. And you rent them, and you walk around the park, and it's got information, you know, like if you're standing in front of the dressage arena, you know, they got a recording that says you're at the dressage arena, the competition starts at 1 o'clock, you know, and it'll tell you 4 or 5 of the riders to be watching out for, you know, and that's great. You might go over to the Grand Prix arena. And it's going to tell you, you know, who's coming up in the next jump off and, you know, how many riders there are. And, you know, it just tells you everything about the park, you know, and it's really well worth that, you know, to go get that. But these are the things that they're trying to do in the horse industry, you know, and it's really working out really good for everything that they do. So, you know, that's what we're trying to say is, you know, go out and see some equestrian events and, take the family and make a trip out of it. And you don't have to just go for like just the races or just the shows. You can go to that community and see what all is around in that community. And I mean, it's just unbelievable the things that you can see and do there. So that's what we're suggesting that you do. And we're doing that because now, we're telling you now, because you need to prepare for it. The summer months are coming up and you can get your reservations and, you know, you can Google any of the tracks, any of the parks. You know, every state has a horse park and you can Google that from whatever state you're in and you can see what all they're offering. And it's just, it's really good to see. And, you know, especially like when you come to Wellington, let me tell you, you wouldn't be surprised who you see sitting in the stands next to you up there. You got Bo Derrick and her mom. They show horses. Bruce Briggs, his daughter, is one of the best riders in the world. You know, you'll see people like him there. You'll see baseball players, that type of thing. Like here at Sunshine Meadows. Sam Bowie is out here all the time at Sunshine Meadows. And he owns a bunch of standard bred horses, and we see a lot of basketball players. We got some of the hockey players that come out here. They own horses, and they're here. You know, we got all kinds of people. We had Michelle Pfeiffer was out here. Her brother-in-law trained horses out here. So you know, it's amazing who you see. You know what I like about it is when you see them out like at Wellington. Or you see them here at Sunshine Meadows or over at Palm Beach Downs. They're just people. They're just regular people. You know, we bump into them all the time out here at Publix when we're going to the grocery stores and, you know, when you're going out and doing things. And you'd be surprised how many famous people shop at Walmart. You know, they go there. So, but, you know, the horse industry is really unique and different. And you know, you can get up and close and personal, you know, with all these people. And then remember, just keep it civil, you know, just don't be hounding them for autographs and, you know, things of that nature or selfies, you know, just be a part of the, you know, the general public, you know, with them. So now that we've talked about all that good stuff, the Haskell at Monmouth Park for 2024, their calendar is unbelievable this year. Led by the Grade 1 million-dollar Haskell Stakes, Monmouth Park is set to offer $8.5 million in stakes races when the track kicks off its 79th season on Saturday, May 11th. This year's meet, which runs through September 15th, will feature 48 total stakes, including 10 graded stakes events and 11 stakes restricted to New Jersey breds. And that's really good because the Jersey breds getting their own little spotlight, you know, on them, which those races are restricted to Jersey breds only. And the purse money is really good. It's a lot better than it's ever been there for them. Monmouth Park is a great place to go to. Again, we're talking about, you know, tradition that they have, which is the Haskell. It's a good summer meet. It's just a few miles from the ocean. Great malls, great hotels, great everything around there. Easy to get to the city from there in New York and on the trains. And also, you know, Monmouth is a good place to go to. A lot of good things that are there. The Haskell Day program will once again feature a total of 6 stakes races. The $600,000 United Nations, the $500,000 Molly Pritchett, the $400,000 Monmouth Cup, the $300,000 Windstar Matchmaker, and the $100,000 Wolf Hill. That's a lot of money on one day. You're seeing some of the best trainers and best jockeys and best horses in the country there. In preparation for the July 20th Haskell program, Monmouth will offer Haskell Preview Day with 4 stakes events on Saturday, June 15th, the Pegasus Grade 3, the Monmouth Grade 3, Salvatore Mile, the Grade 3 Eatontown, each carrying a purse of $150,000. The 22nd annual New Jersey Thoroughbred Festival with 3 stakes events will be renewed August 25th with $125,000 Charles Hess III handicap headlining the card. So see every day what they're doing is fans, they're coming out and they are giving the fans and the patrons, you know, something to come and see. It's an all day thing you can plan. You know, it's something good to look forward to. And they got all kinds of things there at Monmouth. Monmouth is a beautiful track there that they have. It's just unreal. They got nice picnic tables out there. They got face painting for the kids, and you can see little ponies. And, you know, they got a lot of things. It's really great for, you know, for the, you know, for the fans that go to it. Then we have coming up here, the Pegasus World Cup Invitational Stakes. It's at Gulfstream Park in Hollandale Beach, Florida. It inaugurated in 2017. Thoroughbreds flat racing. The Pegasus WorldCup.com if you need more information. The distance is a mile and an eighth. It's on the dirt, left-handed turns, four-year-olds and up. They're carrying 124 pounds. With allowances for the bug riders, and it's a $3 million purse. And I'm telling you what, it's nice. We got some good, good horses that have been invited, you know, to, and enjoy this day. It's going to be great. The speed record, for, the Pegasus World Cup is 146.8. Arrogant set that in 2017. Most wins. This is interesting. Most wins. No horse has ever won the race twice. Interesting, isn't it? They've been invited back, but they've never won it twice. It just shows the quality that's there. The most wins by a jockey is two, Iran Ortiz in 2020 and 2022. Most wins by a trainer is Bob Baffert in 2017 and 2020. It's just amazing, you know, what they have done there. You know, I'm telling you, when you take a look at this this thing, you see horses that have been there, like Art Collector, Life is Good, Nick's Go, Bucho Augusto, City of Lights, Gunrunner, and Arrogant. Arrogant's one of the fastest horses to ever run anywhere. And, you know, I'm telling you, it's just amazing on what they can do there. So that's the Pegasus that's coming up here in Hollandale Beach, Florida, in Gulfstream. That's coming up here in another 2 weeks. So that's something that you can go down and see. You can enjoy Miami. You can enjoy the beach. You can enjoy everything that they have. And then if you want to get a horse to the Pegasus World Cup Invitational, you need to attend the 2024 sale dates at Ocala Breeder Sales. We've got a winter mix sale coming in, and horses of racing age coming up here January 23rd and 24th. The under tax sale is on January 26th or 22nd. That's Monday, 9 a.m. So you can go see that. And what I like about it is you'll be able to watch that live on intv.org on Last Call. You'll be able to watch that. And you see a lot of the horses that are, you know, getting ready to go to the races, and especially the horses of racing age. And what I like about OBS, it's a great place that you can go to. If you go to OBS, you can grab your catalog when you walk in, and you can go to the sales, and you can walk right up to the sales ring, and you can look at them and watch them walk around and go into the sales circle and then kind of guess how much you're going to sell for. And that's what always is good to do. You get the catalog and you kind of look at it, and you don't have to know a lot about the horses, but it's kind of fun, you know, just to, you know, say, oh, well, I think this horse is going to sell for $10,000, you know, and he sells for $30,000. You know, or you say this horse might sell for $100,000, sells for $1 million. You see some of the richest people in the world buying horses there. And the $1 million range is not just a here and there thing. The $1 million range, you might see five or six of them in that sale go for $1 million or more. You know, it's really interesting to see. And that's the OBS sales, winter mix sales, horses of racing age, January 23rd and 24th. The horse racing age under cat is January 22nd, Monday at 9 a.m., and they go out and they all breeze 3/8 of a mile. So, you know, it's a good long morning, you know, to go out. They got great food there. You know, it's a good morning just to go out and relax and enjoy the Florida sunshine and just, you know, really make a day of it. You know, you can do that. They got all kinds of information there on the horses that you can read. So that's really good. Now, we're going to get into some stuff that we've been talking about here for a long time. And the documentary, How They Get There, the 2024 Kentucky Derby, is now in progress. We're following a couple of trainers. We're following a couple of owners. And we're following all the horses on how they get there, the 2024 Kentucky Derby. And it's really interesting because it's quite a process that we have to go through in the horse business to get a horse to the Derby. First of all, you got to have a horse that has talent. You got to have a horse that's got the breeding. And you got to have a horse that's really an athlete. That's the main thing. And so once you start figuring out, after you get the horse broke and get him into training and, you know, you start planning out everything that you want to do, you know, you kind of go from there. And usually the owner will meet with his trainer and say, okay, you know, let's say Todd Pletcher, for example, you know, or Bob Baffert, said, okay, how are we going to get this horse to the Derby? And so the trainer kind of looks at the horse. He goes by the way the horse is training and, you know, all the information that he has on the horse, you know, to see if this horse can actually make it, you know, a run for the Derby. And so once they decide that, the trainer sits down and tells the owner, okay, here's the races that we're going to go to. And with the Kentucky Derby, it's a point system. You got to qualify, you know, for the different races, you know, for the Derby by running different races, and you got a point system. And the more points you have, the better off you are, because the top 20 horses with the most points get to enter into the Kentucky Derby. So that, you know, that's what we're looking at. And they got quite a few races that are coming up here for the Derby that are coming up that are the Kentucky Derby prep races. And if you go to the website, ientv.org, you can go down, scroll down to the How They Get There segment. You know, on our website, and it'll tell you everything that you need to know about how they get to the Derby. We got the talk with the owners. We talk with the jockeys. You see how horses are transported. You see the blacksmith. How you see what they eat. You see about the equine sales that are offered, and then we've got the Derby prep races, and so. Kind of see what all the owner and the trainer has to go through. They got to plan all this out. It's something you just can't say, oh, well, you know, we're going to run this race, you know, this weekend. And, you know, you got to plan it out so you can get your training, you know, built up so that you can point your horse towards the Derby. And so on the Derby prep races we have, and you're going to have to forgive me for this because I know this is a French word, but it's a locomotive. At the fairgrounds on the 20th, that's Saturday, up here at the fairgrounds. If you go to that section on the prep races, you can click on fairgrounds.com, and you can watch it live. There's two ways you can watch this live on my site. It's America's Day at the Races that are on now live, or you can watch it, you know, through the fairgrounds, you know, system. So that's on the 20th. Then a week later, the 27th, they have the Southwest Stakes on the 3rd of February, the Holy Bull Stakes from Gulfstream. They have on the 3rd again the Withers at Aqueduct Racetrack, and the 3rd also the Robert Lewis from Santa Anita. You can watch all those Derby prep races right there, and you can see who's getting the points. Now, what we've been talking about, you know, like I said, you got all these things that are going into training, and you hope it's a smooth run all the way. because you don't want to miss any training. You don't want to miss any races. You don't want to miss anything. And like we were saying, you know, you're pointing the horse towards the Derby. Well, this weather has really got a lot of trainers, you know, scrambling to see where they're going to go. For example, Oakland is not permitted to use any antifreeze agents, even salt, on their track when the temperatures get below 32. So in other words, they're going to have a frozen track. They're going to have a frozen track at Oakland. And you can't train on a frozen track because, you know, it'll bruise your horse's feet up real quick. So now that's one of the things that owners and trainers are trying to figure out. You know, they got their whole stable at Oakland. They just can't pick up and leave and go anywhere, because, you know, they're dedicated to their training schedule. So now they got to start making adjustments, you know, and they got to evaluate how much is this going to take out of my horse while he's training. What can we do? Can we still run the same races, you know, the prep races that we want to run? Well, you know, it's tough. You know, that's at Oakland. Okay. Then we got horses that are up at Turfway in Kentucky. And, they canceled, Turfway canceled their racing the 19th and 20th. So, you know, they're not going to be training. So, you know, you got a couple setbacks right there, and there's some potential Derby horses there at Turfway. Oakland has canceled their racing 19th through the 21st. You know, so now what are they going to do? You know, they got some good races coming up. So now, you know, you're sitting there thinking like, oh man, how can it get any worse? Well, yeah, it can get worse. You know, winter weather forces numerous cancellations January 17th. So, you know, we're sitting here looking at Hollywood Casino at Church at Charlestown. Their races are gone. Mahon and Valley, Hollywood Gaming, they're gone. Parks Racing, Penn National, Turfway again, Oakland again. You know, you're sitting there, so these horses aren't training. If they're canceling races, you're not training in the morning. And that's really bad. You know, you're talking about cold weather and some bad things that are going on. Racing was canceled at Sam Houston Park and Parks due to inclement weather conditions and safety for all. Sam Houston closed the simulcast wagering Monday as well. And that's unusual when you see that. You know, they're starting to do that in Houston. A hard freeze warning was called for Tuesday last week in the mid-20s. You know, so, you know, what do you do? So you got a good portion of the horses that can't train that are leading up to the Derby. So what does that leave you? That leaves you with Kentucky and California. Kentucky and California. Now, remember, a lot of these tracks aren't allowed to use, like, salt on the track to keep the tracks, thawed out or any kind of, you know, chemical agents in there because it's detrimental to the horse's, feet and their legs, you know, that type of thing. So now you got all these trainers thinking, what are we going to do? You know, where are we going to run? Let's look at the races that we've got coming up at those tracks and see what about Derby points. Okay, we'll take, for example, the Southwest that was coming up for the 27th at Oakland has been moved to February 3rd as Oakland navigates the weather situation. So, you're looking at some tough things here, you know, training-wise and, that type of thing. This is all going to improve, you know, for the Derby because you've got to adjust your training schedule, your work schedule. If you were going to be running on, the 27th, of the month in Oakland, you got to reschedule, you know, your work dates, for your horses and all. And then and that's kind of like a domino effect. Once you start with, like, say, the Southwest on the 27th, it's like dominoes. You got to start moving everything forward And that could run into the other races that you have scheduled for, you know, your horses, you know, to be doing the prep for. And I'm telling you, it's going to be tough on these guys. You know, you might have a good horse, but if you get him out of his you know, work schedule, horses are creatures of habit. They're used to doing the same thing day in and day out and the same works week in and week out. You know, you just can't just stop and say, oh, well, I'm going to work and then run. Oh, you can't do that. And so this is going to be interesting because the thing that you're looking at are the Derby points. For the 2024, there are several changes in the Road to the Kentucky Derby. In 2023, the Road to the Kentucky Derby, there were 37 races with 22 races for the Kentucky Derby prep season, and 15 of those races for the Kentucky Derby championship season. In 2024, the following changes were introduced. Second place points in all qualifying races have been increased to added separation from second and third place. Third and fourth place points in the races that award 100 points to the winner will have been decreased from 100 to 40 to 30. 20 to 10, 100 to 50 to 225 to 15 to 10. So basically what they're saying, they readjusted the scoring for everything. You know, it's going to be interesting to see. The Grade 3 Street Sense Stakes will be held October 29th at Churchill Downs and has been added to the entry prep season. So that's, you know, already been run. The Grade 3 Sham Stakes was introduced originally list of events, but Santa Anita did not schedule the event in 2024. So that, you know, that's a race that was taken away. Again, if you're training for that, then, you know, you've got to, you know, make adjustments. Santa Anita also decreased the distance of the Robert B. Lewis Stakes from 1 1/16 to 1 mile. So that's another thing that you got to, you know, a trainer and owner have to adjust to. The El Camino Royal Derby has been removed from the early prep season. So there's another stakes race that you were counting on, you know, that you got to, you know, you're not going to be able to get points for the Derby. And for the Sunland Derby at Sunland Park, the qualification points have been decreased from 50 20, 15, 10, and 5 to 20, 10, 6, 4, and 2. So now, you know, if you were looking for the Sunland Derby, you know, to boost you up there, you know, you're going from 50 points down to 20, you know, and you got to sit down and make yourself, you know, and say, hey, you know, we were counting on those 50 points. Now what are we going to have to do and where are we going to have to go, you know, to replace those 50 points? So, you know, that's a tough road to go there, you know, that you're looking at. So now we're setting up here with the fairgrounds on Saturday. You know, we're looking at a $200,000 purse. You know, that's a good Derby prep. It's a 1 1/16. It usually draws a full field, and it's, you know, it's a good place to go. And then, like I said, they move the Southwest from January 27th. To February 3rd. Now that's not so bad, because, you can get right in line and still do what you need to do. You know, a couple of days is not going to really hurt you that much. You know, but yet it's, you know, it's a mental thing for the trainer and for the owner. So now on the February 3rd, you got the Southwest Stakes at the Oakland. You got the Holy Bull at Gulfstream. You got Robert B. Lewis at Santa Anita. You got the Wither Stakes at Aqueduct. You know, so now, you know, you got a lot of the horses racing on that weekend, and you got a good majority of those horses could go into, you know, fall into the Kentucky Derby, you know, journey, how they get there. So now, that's not too bad. That gets you like on an even keel with a lot of them. And then you just kind of, you know, take it from there. Then 7 days later, you're looking at the Sam Davis at 1 1/16 at Tampa Bay Downs. Then you're looking at the Sunland Derby. It's a $500,000 race, but you lost all those points. And then you're looking at the John Battaglia on March 2nd, at Turfway Park. And then you got to think, well, what's the weather like up there? Am I going to go up and run? What's the weather going to be like there? And let me tell you something. This 2024 Kentucky Derby, the weather's going to play an awful big factor in this Derby. It's going to be an unbelievable Derby this year, because I think what's happening, with the weather and the training and the way the races are structured, you're going to have 20 pretty doggone good horses there this year, more so than the past. There's not really an outstanding, superstar so far this year. And we're going to wait and see what these, what these races come out and how they do. And remember, you got to take into consideration the weather and the location that they're at. If you get a bunch of freezing weather and everything, it's going to be tough on them horses, and then you got all the heat in Santa Anita and here in Florida and Tampa and Gulfstream. That's going to make a big difference. And let me tell you, I've gone to Kentucky a lot of times out of Florida here. We go up for the Kentucky Derby and we ship up to Keeneland and train. Keeneland's a good place to train, right when you ship up, a good landing spot for them to get acclimated to the Kentucky weather. Hey, I've been at Keeneland when it snowed in April, when it was cold and snowed in April. I've been up there when it's rained. The rain was relentless up there, and same thing at Churchill over the last few years. We've had days up there that it rained. And I remember one year, this is back in the early 2000s, I forget what year it was, but we had so much rain Derby week, and it was raining on Derby Day, they thought they were going to have to cancel the Derby for the first time. The mud was literally washing off the track, the dirt. It was nothing but mud. Thank God for the good racetrack crew there at Churchill. They kept it up and going. But, again, we had to train on that track for quite a few days, in the mud. And it was a tough thing to do. But, with the races that are coming up, we're looking at Fairgrounds, Oaklawn, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Aqueduct, Tampa, Sunland, and Turfway. And usually, in the month of February, the weather conditions aren't, that great there. Then we get on into, in February and March, and you're looking at the Fairgrounds, Oaklawn, Gulfstream, Aqueduct, Santa Anita, and Tampa, same tracks. But, you've been training on them, but, how good is it? Does your horse get anything out of that race? So it's going to be interesting to see, but the real test comes up for, how they get there in the Kentucky Derby 2024 is coming up in March and April. You usually go in and see what kind of horse you got, and you know for the real deal then if you're going to run in the Derby is when you get ready to run. And you go to the Tampa Bay Derby, March 9th. That starts it all off right there. That's the Tampa Bay Derby. Unbelievable. You're going to have a tough one for that one. A lot of Derby winners have come out of there. Then you go to the Fairgrounds on March 23rd for the Louisiana Derby. It's $1 million purse. $700,000 for the Jeff Ruby at Turfway. And then UAE Derby. Is it made in? And might have a good horse come out of there this year. You might see a few American bred horses that made in, and see what they can do over at the UAE Derby. And that's March 30th. And then the all big ones, it has a lot of Derby horses come out of this one. The Florida Derby at Gulfstream, March 30th. It's $1 million race. It's a grade one. And let me tell you, it's always a tough race to win. Then you got the Arkansas Derby, and this is unusual because it's a 1,500,000 on March the 30th. And I tell you what, if I got a horse that could win that Arkansas Derby in $1.5 million and everything, that kind of makes you think, well, you know, hey, do we take the $1.5 million or do we go to the Derby and run, you know, way back? That tells you a lot. You see a real good horse come in there. That's going to be the true test for a horse going to the Derby, would be the Louisiana Derby, the Florida Derby, or the Arkansas Derby. And then a race that usually it's April 6th. It's pretty much too close to the Derby, you know, to come out of the Bluegrass and go to the Derby. Not many horses do that. How many of them come out at it good? But it's a mile and an eighth. It's $1 million purse at Keeneland on April the 6th. And then the Santa Anita Derby, it's had its share of people come east. It's $750,000 at Santa Anita on April the 6th. And then the Wood Memorial. That's an aqueduct. It's April the 6th, $750,000 purse. So, you know, that says a lot right there for your horse. If you can really get into it, the European route to the Derby, I tell you, not many horses come out of that. They've got March 1st is their Platin Stakes at Dundalk, Kempton Park in March 13th, and then Chesterford City is March 30th. So, well, I butcher those names up, man. I'm a tough old boy. I'll tell you what. It's all about, you know, what you do and how you do it. And it's a long road to get there. The journey, you know, is a tough road. I've been down that journey many times with horses and people that I've worked for. And, it's always... It's good to keep the dream alive, and the tough part about it is that at any given time and point, you know, you could get off that road to the Derby, and that's like a punch in the gut, you know, when you realize that you're not going to be able to run in the Derby. That's really tough when that happens, and you know, you might realize you just don't have the horse that can do it. At one time and point, you know, you thought he could do it, and the owners did, the trainers did. You know, you start doing that, you know, that thing. And then I tell you, the biggest thing that affected me in the horse business was in 1982. In 1982, we had three horses. We had a horse called Cabildo Lake. We had a horse called Liscopade. And we had a horse called El Baba. And we had campaigned El Baba on the way to the Derby. And Dewey Smith was the trainer. And Mrs. Joseph W. Brown was the owner. And, you know, it was textbook. It was textbook. We went, you know, we did. And Dewey had been in business a long time. Mrs. Brown had been in a long time. And so on that journey to Churchill, I was so excited. As the two-year-olds, they came around good. We started realizing, we had something special here. And back then, you didn't have to have points to the Derby. You just had to have money earnings and, you know, a good horse. And so we're on that journey. And we're in Arkansas. And we're in Louisiana. We won the Louisiana Derby with El Baba. Cabildo Lake, she had won a couple of stakes races. Liscopade was coming along good. He's a real young two-year-old and real tall and thin. You know, we didn't know what was going on. So we get up to Kentucky, and the horses are training good and everything. And we come out, and Dewey says, okay, here's what we're going to do with Cabildo Lake. This is when she's running. You know, we got a good shot at this race. And then here's Liscopade. We're going to run him in the Kentucky Derby trial. And the Kentucky Derby trial back then was a week before the Kentucky Derby. And a lot of trainers in the past had used the Kentucky Derby trial as a final workout for the horse. It was a mile out of the chute. It was it's a one turn deal. And a lot of trainers had done that. And in 1982, we had like three of the Derby, horses, the top Derby horses were going to run in the Derby trial. And we had, Albaba had already run, and we were just going to bring him into the Derby, off his training. And we actually went into the Derby as the co-favorite. So I was all excited about that every day, coming to the barn. There were people taking pictures, news crews, everything, just all Albaba. Well, the Saturday before the Derby there in 82, we got Liscapade running in the Derby trial. And there's three horses out that are the top five rated for that Derby that year running in the Derby trial. And I'm telling you, it was exciting. They had 100,000 people there that Saturday. Derby week had started. And, it was just exciting for me. I was a young guy, and, I just was good. And so taking Liscapade over to the paddock to get saddled, the ABC sports crew said, "What's the name of your horse?" And I said, "He's the winner." And they said, "No, what's the name of your horse?" And I said, "Well, it's Liscapade." And so they just kind of laughed at me because, he never got any attention, none whatsoever. And so we take him over, get him saddled, take him out, get him loaded up in the gate, and they're off. Going a mile, a flat mile, one turn. So all of a sudden they're talking about all these other horses, that are in there, Royal Roberto, Linkage, all these other horses that are going to be running in the Derby, and they were all over it. And Liscapade never got a call at any of the posts. And I said, "Man, oh man," I was thinking, "where in the heck is he at?" So the track announcer, right as they're getting close to the finish line, the track announcer says, on the rail, it's all Liscapade in front, and he wins the thing. And I mean, it just shook everybody. The crowd got quiet. He went off at 52-1 and paid $115.40 for a $2 ticket. And I mean, he just really upset the whole apple cart, man. And so, man, I was all excited, and the press and everything the next day were there, and they were watching Albaba. Long story short, Albaba gets into the Derby. He's running, running good, breaks good. He's on top, he's leading the way. And, we're looking like, hey, he's been working with Liscapade. If he could come up the rail like Liscapade did, we got this thing won. And it was so exciting to do that. But in that race, there was a horse called Koopa Koi's Joy. She was a filly, and she was running with us the whole way. And I'm not using this as an excuse. It's just horse racing. When she started backing up and tired out, racing against all those colts, she banged into Albaba, threw him off stride, but he got his feet back underneath him and tried to, make it back up. And the better horses won. And that's what happened. The best horses win a race. And that's when I learned that whenever you lose, you say very little. When you win, you say even less. And so the very next day, there was no cameras, there was no TV crews, there was nobody. That was the biggest high and low that I ever had in a 24-hour period in my life. But it's something that's all exciting. It's called How You Get There, the 2024 Kentucky Derby. Keep going to the website, intv.org, and see what all we have there. What's going on. You can see live racing tapes, of past races. Like I said, the Derby prep race is coming up this week. They're all on intv.org. And just, take a visit and see what you can. But the most important thing is Google horses. Google horses for your area that you live in. And it will tell you all the horses that are around, the training facilities, the farms, everything. And all the farms usually give tours. just Google it and see what all's there. You know, make it a family outing, take it a 2 or 3 day, you know, weekend, go out and see them and, you know, enjoy, you know, the family life and the farm life and the equine life. Well, that's it for me for today. I'm working on getting me a girlfriend for the Kentucky Derby, and I might have one, and that's got me all wound up. And she told me she'd be my girlfriend depending on how many Derby tickets I could get her. So now that's what I'm working on. That's on my how we get to the Kentucky Derby with a girlfriend. Well, folks, have a great weekend. Have a blessed weekend. And be safe, stay warm, and remember, find an equine facility to go to. This is Scott Miller at the International Equine Report.